Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Oh, amen. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. It's good to see you. I hope you come back tonight for our sweet time of candlelight communion together, and what a great way to spend the Lord's Day. My mom told me on the way to church this morning, she said, "Do you know what the three wise men, their occupation was?" And I said, "No." She said, "Well, you ought to know, it's in the Bible. You're a student of the Bible, right?" I said, "Well, yeah." She said, "Well, you ought to know, you ought to read your Bible." I said, "Okay, I'll read it." And I never knew what their occupation was. She said, "They were firemen." "Firemen?" She said, "Yeah, the Bible says they came from afar." You guys got to get out more. That's an old joke. If you're from the South, you understand that. If you're from the North, you got to look around and ask somebody, "What in the world are they talking about?" I have no idea. You got to see Joseph's coat up here. Come here, Luther. I love that. That's a Joseph coat. Many colors.
It
looked good on you, brother. It looked good on you.
Thank you.
I like it. I like it. I move these because I walk around and I may get all tripped up. Move these back a little bit. I was praying this week about, Lord, what do you want to say? Because, you know, it's important you hear from God. And all of His Word is His Word. But then there are times where God says something that, boy, you know it's a word from God. And I have that word, I believe, today, and it's this word. I mean, that's as clear as day. It's what He gave me. Back in, I think it was October when we went to Living Waters, was it?
Yes.
We went there to a retreat facility. And after one of the services, there was a lady, I didn't know her, don't even know her name to this day. She's claimed to be a prophet, and we believe in prophets and prophecy, and many of you have a gift of prophet. And she said that the Lord told her to come up here to the lodge, is where we were all kind of sitting around the fire, and there's a group of us there. And she said, I believe the Lord told me to prophesy over everybody, and so she went around one by one. It took a while, and she would say specific things to people. She told Pam a very specific thing that there's no way that she would have known, and which was a word of great comfort to her. And that's another story, another day. And then she came around to me and she said some things, you know, "This is what I see the Lord doing in your life," and all that. And then she stepped back at me like this, and then she said, looked at me and she said, "Say it.
Believe."
And that has stayed with me. And this week it came back to me as I'm to share a little bit with you this morning. If there was just one thing that God would have us do today while we're here, it's that. You may be saying, "Well, I already believe in God." Well, let's hold on. The word "believe" is a verb. It's an action word. It means be convinced, persuaded, trust, have confidence in, have faith, to believe. The word "believe," interesting, is when I looked up the etymology of the word, it's actually a combination of two words. Be, state of being, But also, the second part of the word comes from a long time ago, an old English word called about love. So actually, the real root original meaning of the word means beloved. To believe is to be loved. To believe what God has said is to be loved by God. John 3:16, God so loved the world. And the question is, do you believe that you are beloved? You have to believe that. Not just intellectually. And we'll get into that a little bit more later on. But the power of this one word, believe, is so powerful. I never realized how powerful until this week. This one word is so powerful, it can change any situation you'll ever face in life. Believe, that one word. One day in the life of Jesus, we have it recorded in the book of Mark. One day in the life of Jesus, he did all these various things. He actually got in a boat and he crossed the Sea of Galilee and he went to the other side of Gerasene, and there he met the most demon-possessed man on the earth. And with one word, he cast all the legion of demons out of this man that no one had ever been able to set free. People had given up on him. He lived in the graveyards, and people just stayed away from him, said, he's crazy, there's no hope for him, he just needs to die. And with one word, Jesus set this man free. And then Jesus got in a boat, came back across the Sea of Galilee. They didn't have any motor, so it took some time to do all this. And as soon as the sand hit the bottom of the boat and he gets out, there's a crowd of people pressing in on him. And one of them was the ruler named Jairus. He was the ruler of the synagogue there, the local church. And his daughter was dying at home. He'd heard about Jesus, and he finally, as a spiritual leader, humbled himself, and he was the first one there to meet Jesus at the boat. And he said, Jesus, my daughter is dying. Please, I know you can do anything. Please come and heal my daughter. And Jesus says, I'll come with you. And so Jesus gets out of the boat, and there's people all around him pressing him for everything and asking him this and asking him questions and wanting to touch him and wanting to talk to him. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops in the crowd as he's on his way to go heal this man's daughter who's dying. And he says, who touched me? And the disciples said, what do you mean, who touched you? There's the 1,000 people here all pressing in on you. He said, no. Somebody touched me. Virtue has gone out of me. Power has gone out of me because somebody touched me in a very unusual way. Somebody touched me with faith. Somebody was believing. Somebody was confident. Somebody knew that if they could touch me, the power that they needed for their need would come out of me to meet their need. Somebody was believing, not just somebody would believe in me. Somebody believed on me. Power has gone out of me. Now, who was it? And everybody was afraid. And there was a little lady who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years and spent all of her money to various doctors, never got any better. And it was ceremonially, religiously, not right for her, who was considered unclean because of the issue of blood, to touch a rabbi. But she knew, she believed, that if she just touched the hem of his garment, she'd be healed. And immediately, she said, she didn't know what kind of response she's going to get. She said, it was me, Jesus. I touched you. And he said, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has healed you. Amen. You believe. Now, a lot of people were believing, but she believed. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
And just at that moment, and Jesus, and all this is going on, and one day, and Jesus starts to go back with Jairus, and then a messenger comes and says, Jairus, don't bother the master, it's too late, your daughter died. Can you imagine the shock? We didn't get there in time. And Jesus looks at him and he says these words, and hear this. He says, Jairus,
Fear not. Come on. She died. But Jesus, she's dead. We didn't get there to...
God's talking to you today, so hang on. He's giving you a little bit at a time. He's taking you somewhere. The name Jairus actually means the Lord enlightens. And of course, we know the rest of the story, that he went and raised a little girl from the dead. But here's a point that you need to understand, and you need to take this home with you, because you're going to face a lot of fear in this life. It may be the fear of disease. You may be told you have cancer. You may be told you have heart disease. You got this, whatever. Okay, you're going to face disease, and the fear of disease is going to come at you. And the only antidote for this fear is... You're going to face demonic things in your life that you're not going to understand. They're going to be mysterious. You may have addictions in your life. You can't get the chains off of you. You've been to 12-step, 24-step, 36-step, and you still got the chains on you. You're going to have demonic things come at you in this life. You may not recognize it, but you are. And the only antidote is... And then you're going to face death one day. Either of a loved one or your own. And the only antidote to that. Another time, Jesus sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee again by night. And at nighttime, and then a storm arose in the middle of the night, and they're out there rowing, trying to get across to where Jesus says to come. And we read about this in John chapter 6, verse 19. It says, however, after they'd rowed 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, approaching the boat. What was their response? You guys are way too casual. What was their response? Now, you just be glad I wasn't standing next to you when I did that, because I've done that before. I love this passage, and I've had little old ladies come out of their skin when I scream. But the point is, they were terrified. When's the last time you saw Jesus walking on the water? I'd have been terrified too. And Jesus said these words. He said, it's I. Be not I am. Stop. Hang on to that. That's going to build onto something else. What's the one thing that Jesus is telling them to do that'll stop all fear? Old Testament prophet prophesied that the Messiah would be born and his name would be called Emmanuel. Not like his name Jesus, but they'll call him Emmanuel, which means that God is here. God is now with us. He's not up there. He's right here. And if you really believe that, it'll change any storm you ever come up against. It'll change it. You got to believe. Someone said God is most present when he seems most absent. You know, we look for a feeling. I was the other day getting my oil changed, and I was trying to witness a little bit to the man there at the window and getting my oil changed. And I talked to him about, I said, you know the real meaning of Christmas, right? You know, he said, Merry Christmas to me. I said, you know the real meaning is about Jesus. God has come down here among us to live in us and be with us and forgive us of our sins. And he said, oh, man, I got chills all over me when you said that. I said, you know what that is, right? I said, that's God's presence. Now, it's wonderful to have goosebumps and go, ooh, I just felt God. But God doesn't want you to live that way the rest of your life. That's okay for a beginner. But you have to get weaned off of your feelings to know that God is with you when you don't see any sign of Him anywhere. And the storm is actually getting worse. The disease is getting worse. The demons are getting worse. And death has happened. Where's God now? So you can't just live by the goosebumps. That's wonderful if you have them, but you got to get weaned off of that. God appeared to Moses in this burning bush and told Moses, now I'm gonna give you an assignment. I want you to go and I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go free from slavery. And he says, well, Lord, I'll do it, but who am I gonna say sent me? No one's gonna believe me. He says, you just tell them that I am. Okay. That you are. You tell them I am has sent me. The God who is I am. Not the God who is I was. Not the God who is I will be. But the God who is. Where is God right now? He is I am. He's right now. He's right now. He's concerned about now. The past is over. Future you may not even have, but right now He's the God of now. Right now. Do you believe now? That's what He's about. That's where He's taking you. What about now? And Jesus was asked this one question that church people continue to ask. People that say that they know God. The question really comes out in about three different ways, but it's the same question. Lord, what is my life all about? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? What must I do to be right with God? People ask that question in various forms, but it's really the same question. And then when you finally, I don't know why it takes so long, you can go to church all your life and not hear the gospel. The gospel means good news. When you finally hear the good news, when you finally get it, when the light bulb finally turns on and you finally get it in your head and then down into your heart, you're shocked at what God wants you to do. What must I do to be right with God? What do you want me to do with my life? What's life all about, God? Why are we here? Just this past year, God spoke to me. I didn't hear it audibly, but it might as well have been. It was so loud in my head and heart that I stopped. I was in my house, I was in my kitchen. I'll never forget it. He spoke to me just as clear as day. He said, would you quit trying so hard and just be? I mean, I stopped in my track. And I understood clearly what he was talking to me about. Just be, Gary. Quit trying so hard to do right. Just be. And be is the beginning of believing. Humans are like ants. They're like ants who are always moving around. They're busy. They're building. Then they're rebuilding. You'd knock down their ant pile and they'll start building right away again. They're like little humans all over the earth. We're like little ants and we're going to just tell me what to do and I'll do it. I want to do, okay, you want me to do that? I'll do this. Let's rebuild this. Let's do this. Let's do good. Let's make this. Let's do this. Let's build a hospital. Let's build a church. Let's do this. Let's do. What are we to do, God? Just show me what to do and I'll do it.
God.
And it's so interesting that Jesus answered this question to a whole bunch of religious people who are asking the same question. In John 6, verse 28, then they said, "What are we to do, Jesus, that we may do the works of God?" What are we to do to carry out what God requires of us? And Jesus said, "This is the work that God asks of you." Come on. That you... that you believe in Jesus. That's your work.
What? No. I'm not God asking about what. But what do you want me to do?
I want you to believe.
Believe in what? Believe in the one whom God sent did the work that you were called to do but would never be able to do. And this idea of believe doesn't mean believe in. It means to believe on. Demons believe in God. They know God. But believers believe on God. Are you understanding the difference? The most asked question of God in all the world, I believe, is this question. The question, the prayer that goes up, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" That's it. You want me to preach? I'll be a preacher. You want me to obey the commandments? I'll obey the commandments. After all, faith without works is dead. So I'm going to be doing. And here is where it is so vital that you get this. Otherwise, you're just going to be a religious person. Just like demons who believe in God, but they're like ants who are always busy, never knowing, have I done enough? Have I done enough? Have I done enough? Jesus said in John 17, before he ascended to the Father, he said, "I have finished the work you gave me to do." Jesus finished a work. When he died on the cross, his last words were tetelestai, which means it is finished. And more literally, it's paid in full. You don't add any more to that. It's paid in full. I just paid off my last car payment. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to write that check. I said to that bank in my mind, "I ain't ever going to pay you again. This is it. It's a final payment. Don't even expect a Christmas card from me." It's done. It's finished. It's paid for. Now I got to go get another one probably pretty soon, but the point is it's paid for. Now next month comes around, and about the 21st of the month, I'm used to making a car payment. Am I going to make another payment? Why? It's paid for. Do you believe all your sin, not only the past, but right now, and even that which you haven't even committed yet, was paid for on the cross? Believe. That's what God wants from you. He wants you to really believe that. And when you really believe that, you don't have any problem rejoicing. Rejoice means to rejoice.
You had joy when you first heard the gospel and you said, wow, that's the greatest thing I ever heard in my life. And I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 19 years old and someone explained the gospel to me. And when I understood it, I said, wow, and I had joy. And now when I go back to that or when I get the opportunity to share the gospel with you like I'm doing now, I get rejoy, I get recharged, I get that same joy that he gave me and I pull it back out again and I get rejoy. Rejoice because of what he's done. He's paid for at the cross. And so we need to stop and ask God this question before we go on any further. Right now, I want you to do this personally between you and God. Lord, what would you have me do today? Now you go ahead and pray that. You pray with your eyes open. Just ask, talk to God. Lord, what would you have me do today? Now I'm going to be quiet for a minute. It's going to sound like a long time, but I want you to listen and pay attention to God. You've asked God a question. Now listen for his response and listen with your mind, your heart, listen. Go ahead. Okay. Just be still. That's about all the time you need. Now, consider this. If you were sincere and you just talk to God through prayer, that's what prayer is, talking to God, and you ask him that question, and if you sincerely listened and you didn't hear anything, then just rest. You ask God a question, it's his responsibility to speak back to you, right? Then just rest. Okay. Okay. But on the other hand, if you did hear him and he's telling you to believe, it is because you've not yet believed. Why would God tell you to believe something you already believe? But if he just told you, believe, then he's trying to get you somewhere. Get you out of doubt. Get you out of yourself, get you out of religion, get you out of the fear of what people think. He's trying to get you and him on the same page. He wouldn't tell you to believe if you've already believed. Thank you, that's really good preaching. Believe what? Believe Jesus has finished everything that'll ever make you right with God. Believe that Jesus has done everything. You do nothing but simply Are you getting it? And when you simply believe God, you have just pleased him. Without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please him. Here's what you're believing. Look at the diagram up on the screen. You're believing, like all of us, that all of man's problems is that man was born a sinner. Do we need to prove that point to anybody? Did anybody ever have to teach you how to sin? Did you have to go to sin school? Did anybody ever have to teach you how to lie? Did anybody ever have to teach you how to steal? Did anybody ever have to teach you how to curse? I've never met anybody who said, you know, I've never done any of that stuff before. I said, well, the first thing you committed was a lie. You're a liar. So we were born with this problem, and as a result of that, we were unlike God, who is holy and without sin. God never intended for Adam and Eve to sin, but they had to have the free will to choose. And that's why the tree was put there in the middle of the garden. And every day they'd either choose to believe God and stay away from it, or they'd choose to disbelieve God or not believe God. And as a result of that, sin came into the world. And as a result of that, we inherited a sin nature by our parents. Thank you very much. And their parents, all the way back to Adam and Eve. I've heard people ridiculously say, when I get to heaven, if Adam's there, I'm going to punch him in the mouth. No, you're not. Because if you were Adam, you would have done the same thing, because it's the same human nature. It's like touching wet paint. Don't touch wet paint. Oh, it's wet. Well, you found out. And the same thing is true about sin. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody. You, me, Billy Graham, the Pope, your sweet little grandma, the nicest person you've ever met. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is that God provided a remedy. Jesus became a human being. Yet he was born of a virgin, so he wouldn't have a sin nature like you and me. His father was God. He was a human, but without a sin nature. And without any sin, he lived a sinless life for 33 years. He did miracle signs and wonders to prove that he was God. Nobody else could do what he did, even raising people from the dead. And then when he willingly laid down his life upon the cross, his life was not taken from him. He willingly laid his life down. He didn't struggle. And they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, and they hung him up before the whole world, and he took the shame that we have to walk in this life. He took the guilt. He took all the condemnation, and he never did anything wrong. He willingly took it, and people said, he's cursed of God. Look at him. If he was God, then let him come down from the cross. Well, if he'd have come down from the cross, he wouldn't have saved us. But he went all the way, and he paid the wages of sin, which is death, on the cross, and his last words were, it is paid in full. It is finished. It's done. It's over with. No one will ever be able to condemn you. No one will ever be able to speak evil against you. Your sins are paid for. And at that moment, he died as a human, put in the grave. 3 days, 1, 2, 3, Easter morning, busted out of the grave, showed he had power over sickness and disease, he had power over demons, he had power over man's enemy death, and he's alive forevermore. And the Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, that Jesus is Lord, God will save. You gotta believe that is true. You can't tell really who believes sometimes and who doesn't. You say, well, if they believe, they'd live right. Well, not always. Sometimes just immaturity. I don't know that you folks are born again. Because you tell me you are, doesn't mean it's so. You don't know that I'm born again just because I'm up here preaching. I only know that I'm born again because his spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And his spirit will bear witness to your spirit, whether you're his or not. And a few moments ago, I gave you the opportunity to do that. I said, just ask God that, Lord, what would you have me to do? And if he said, believe, then guess what? You're not believing. He wouldn't tell you to believe if you didn't believe. One word. That's all God told you. One word. That's all you need. And see, if you try hard to, like I did for thinking that this is what God expected of me, what do you want me to do in my life, God? Well, live right, do right, bless people, help people, do good deeds, and hopefully that when you die that you'll have more good deeds than bad deeds and you'll get to heaven. That's what I thought. A lot of people think that. And the Bible says it this way in Galatians 5:4. It says, if you're trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, if you're trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you've been cut off from Christ. You've fallen away from God's grace. The Living Bible says it this way. Christ is useless to you if you're counting on clearing your debt to God by keeping laws. You've fallen from grace. You see, you don't understand. God didn't say, clean up your act, boy. Because you'd be doing that forever. You'd never get it done. It takes blood. Not just any blood. The Old Testament, they used to sacrifice lambs, animals, innocent, for the guilty. But that blood was an atonement. It was a temporary covering. But when Jesus came, John the Baptist said, behold, he's the Lamb of God. That doesn't cover the sin. He takes away the sin of the world. Sinless blood is what paid for you and I to be sinless and right before God. And God just wants you to believe. You say, that's just too good to be true. That's what I said. And I prayed a simple prayer that I'll lead you in a moment. I didn't hear any bells or whistles. I didn't see any angel. Didn't have any visions. But I prayed and put my faith where God took my sin. And I look back upon my life and say, that was the point of spiritual birth. That's when I really believed. Oh, I believed in God when I was a little child. I believed in God. I believed in the baby Jesus. I believed in the angels. I believed in all that stuff. I believed in. But at 19, I believed on. And that's when spiritual conception took place in my heart. A baby was born. A new creation in Christ Jesus. I didn't understand it. I couldn't even explain it. I still had issues with sin. Still do. You're looking at me like, preacher, you got a problem with sin? You mean you don't? You're breathing? But I've been born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. See, I'm going to close out with this. To become right with God, you must believe Jesus has done all the work that God has required. And on your part is simply to believe on Him. It's done. It's really done. And after you've given your life to Christ, now He lives in you and He's got plans for your life. There are things that God would have us do to help people and do ministry. Yes, I'm not denying all of that, but the first work, the first thing is only a work that God can do. He just wants you to believe. Believe on Him. And believe in and receive Him. And if you don't, then you're going to live life very selfishly. You know, when we say to people, I know we mean well, and there's some truth in this. When we say, you know, you're a smart person, you can go out and do anything in the world you put your mind to. Well, that's true to a point, but you shouldn't go out in the world and do everything you put your mind to. Not if you've given your life to Jesus. Because He's got plans for it. If you go out and do everything that you is in your heart to do, you're going to look like this. Next picture. Every decision he ever made, Ebenezer Scrooge, it was all selfish, self-centered, and he ended up being a bitter, old, selfish person. Another lump of coal, Cratchit. Humbug. Don't get me started. Don't applause any of my foolish behavior. I can take off and get lost. The danger of what I'm trying to say to all of us is that life is short. Yesterday we had a memorial service for a young brother who used to sit right over there, Michael, and he went to be with the Lord, and we all prayed for his healing. He lived a lot longer than probably doctors ever expected, but he ultimately went to be with the Lord, and he was healed, and he is healed. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing to have a memorial service for someone that you know beyond any shadow of doubt they believe. And the evidence of it was obvious. He could be joyful when he was in pain. When he had a headache and his head was busting, he would praise God. Wow. It was amazing. So there'll be some evidence. So today it just comes down to this one question. You believe? Do you? God knows the truth. And you know the truth. I won't know. I can't tell. But God knows the truth and you know the truth. And one day you'll stand before him. And the only question is, did you believe that my son was my gift to the whole world? Every Christmas you celebrated it. You gave gifts to other people. Did you ignore the greatest gift? Under the tree of the cross, my son given for your sin so you could be made right with me. Did you believe? And if you believe, did you receive? Bible says it this way, but as many as believed on him, to them gave he the right, the authority to receive the gift of God and become children of God. It's a gift. You have to read. There has to be a time in your life. Today's a day for somebody. There has to be a time where you receive by faith. You simply believe on and receive the gift of Jesus Christ, and he washes all your sins away that moment. It's done. It's paid for forever. Wow. Has that happened? Would you stand to your feet with me? And would you stand to your feet and would you bow your head and would you close your eyes? Altar workers, you can come on up. Musicians, you can come on up. We're about done. But I wouldn't want you to go home without receiving the gift of God. It's absolutely free. But you do have to be humble enough to receive it, and you do have to really believe. Well, your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you, if I were one-on-one with you right now, alone in a room, and I ask you this question, have you received Jesus as your Lord, your God, and your Savior? You'd have to answer either yes or no. Maybe a few moments ago you prayed and asked him to save you. Well, he did right then. Maybe you didn't know what to pray, and so right now I'm going to lead you. And if you've never received Jesus or you don't know that you have, then you haven't. Then just simply pray this with me out loud, at least loud enough where you can hear your own words. Back to God. Come on, say it with me. Oh God, I do believe in you. And I've heard your gospel today. Even though it's unbelievable, I believe it. Jesus is God. He died in my place. And the only way that I'll ever be made right with you is to receive the gift of his salvation with his blood for me. He died for me so I could live for him. Come on in, Jesus. Be my Lord. Be my God. Be my Savior. Today, I am born with your Spirit and washed in your blood. Lord, I believe right now. In Jesus' name. Now look at me just for a moment. We're about to go home. Somebody prayed that prayer today. And God wants to wipe away all your doubt, all your fear, and say, this is it. It's settled once and for all. I never want you to doubt again. I want you to have that secure, settled in your heart. You prayed that prayer. I'm going to ask you to do something that's a little difficult, but it's not impossible. I'm going to ask if you prayed that prayer with me just now. I'm just going to ask you to come down here and stand with me. That's all I want you to do. This is not for show. It's not for performance. I just want you to stand with me because Jesus said it this way. If you confess me before men, and I'm not going to have you put a microphone in your face. This is you doing it. Then I'll confess you before the Father, he said. But if you deny me that opportunity, then I'll deny you. So there ought to be a time in your life where there's some sort of public recognition that you're saying, here's one who has believed and who believes Jesus is my Savior. And if you prayed that prayer, come right now. Don't even wait for anybody else. If you're the only one, sir, come on right now. There has to be a time. God bless you, dear. Come on right now. Just, this is for you. This is not for us. This is for you. Come on, anybody right now. This is your moment. This is your moment. Jesus is here. God will hold us accountable for these moments when we have these opportunities. And you say, come on, do you believe in me? If you do, then you won't be afraid of what other people think because you believe in me more than you believe in them. Anybody else? I'm not going to prolong this, but there needs to be a time. You step up to the plate. You show, you manifest, you outwardly declare. Here's one who believes in Jesus. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, my brother. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Now, everybody here, live with me, and you folks in front, just lift your hands to the Lord and praise him. Praise him for his unspeakable gift. Praise him for Jesus. Praise him for the gift of God. Praise him for salvation. He paid for it all. You'd never be righteous on your own if it weren't for the blood of Jesus. Thank him for saving you. Thank him for and praise him for being the Savior, the only Savior. God's gift of love to you, Jesus. Now, anybody else need to receive the gift? Come, come. You got to receive. Receive. And you receive by faith. You believe God. You take him at his word. Now, you folks here at the front, whatever, wherever you are in your walk with God, I don't really know, but you started something today that you need to continue. Even if it was a rededication, you started something today that you need to continue. You need to continue with. And here's what I would recommend that you would do, okay? I would say, you need to come sit down and talk with the pastor. We'll make time for you. Let us find out what's going on in your heart and it'll help you take the next steps, okay? Because after you leave here, the enemy is going to try to talk you out of this. He's going to say, you just made a fool of yourself today. Nothing really happened and you're still going to have to fight sin. You're still going to have to fight sin. But I want to tell you one thing that you need to walk out of here with your head up with. God is fully pleased with you. He's pleased. He's fully pleased because the sacrifice of Jesus was enough. And you're fully pleasing to him, not based on what you do ever, based on what he did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's going to be up to you now if we want to talk, okay? So you see me and we'll set up a time and we'll talk, okay? Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. Now, others of you here, I don't know where you are spiritually, but God's leading you to believe something, maybe for healing. And He's just saying, believe. Maybe there's something else in your life going on. Just believe God for provision, whatever it is. If you need prayer, that's what these altar workers are here to do. You just come forward and we'll pray with you and minister to you. And hopefully see you back here tonight as well. Let's continue to worship. If you need to leave, God bless you. And we just dismiss you. 6:30 tonight, we have candlelight communion. Come back and be part of us here tonight. If you need prayer, these altar workers are here ready to minister to you. We welcome you. Our visitors, we're glad you're here with us today. Merry Christmas, everybody. And our elders, please come by the office. We have something for you there, all of our elders.
Were we collecting for missions
today? We were collecting for missions as well today. So if you want to give a special offering to our missionaries out on the field, then please designate that offering for them, and we'll make sure that they get every bit of that. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.